101, a version 1 podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 101 podcast. Conversations about technology and innovation with some of the UK and Ireland's top IT and digital leaders. My name is Suraj Shah, and today I'm joined by Finn Golding, who is previously CIO of Aviva International and Paddy Power, and that is now a co-founder of the Flow Academy, which aims to help leaders and executives remodel their businesses. Finn, it's great to have you here. So thanks for joining us. And I mean, it's particularly the case, that it's great to have you here because we're discussing something that I think we first discussed 5 or so years ago, which was Agile. So it's been around for a while and it's developed in that time. So it'd be great to hear what you think Agile means now and how that's changed over the last 5 or so years.
It's a great question. I'm not sure I can answer how it's transformed in the last 5 years. It's probably the last 20 years. It's actually 20 years old since the manifesto was signed. And I think it's been enhanced quite a bit. It's become a major focus for organizations, perhaps quite a huge focus for them. And it's kind of fueled now by the world of certifications, and consultancies are specializing in helping organizations to adopt the practices and processes. And I actually think that it's also spliced into a number of variants as well. So when that happens, you get people going off into their own tribes and reinventing parts of it. And the thing that I think is struggling a little bit is that large organizations that use the scaled versions are seeing some challenges in fitting in with their sort of traditional processes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've worked at so many different types of organizations. So, you know, have there been different principles that they've taken on board at all of these organizations?
Yeah, I kind of feel it's a little bit like compromises rather than principles. The principles I think people uphold, but once you reach, you know, that kind of organizational structure, the hierarchy in organization, sometimes some of those principles can't be implemented, which causes a bit of frustration between teams. And that kind of promise of agility or delivering at pace sometimes doesn't happen. It kind of gets slowed down by the kind of the corporate machine in some way.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I always found was, you know, some CIOs, I think yourself as one of them, is that Agile has been overhyped sometimes, or perhaps the word is misused often by IT leaders. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I tend to be in the kind of camp of, I mean, I got into some trouble a few years back at one particular conference where I think it might have been the DevOps Enterprise Summit, where I said Agile was dead. And what I meant was that agility was not being achieved in organizations, and because Agile itself was kind of being confined to the technology departments, and from that perspective, wasn't really delivering that promise of agility across the organization.
Mm. I actually wrote a kind of feature about Agile, I think 5 or so years ago. There was a research company that suggested that some organizations were putting in too many Agile projects at once and therefore causing a kind of bottleneck in their organization. Now, I don't know how things have changed or if even that was true back then, but, you know, what's your view on that?
What we find is not necessarily just Agile. It's product development and it's traditional projects as well. That in an organization, when I go and try and help them to get better at delivery at pace, we tend to sort of say, well, what are you currently working on? It's not unusual to find 300 or 400 projects in an organization, and they're not actually connected sometimes to the business strategy, or they're not connected to certain goals of, you know, parts of the organization itself. So we see it a lot, and I don't think it's an Agile thing. It's just a large organization tends to have a large portfolio of work.
Mm, yeah. Is that one of the things that's now matured in many organizations, is that ability to get Agile working in other areas aside from IT?
I think it's still a challenge, I think. I mean, you and I spoke some time ago about DevOps, you know, bringing together development teams and operations, you know, like back in the day. And that's a 10-year-old type of thing. And what we discovered is that even that, being implementing that, is quite difficult because of the, you know, going against the hierarchies, etc. But I've been a part of that movement for quite some time. And I always thought to myself, well, how can I do this on a wider scale and bring together IT business? There is an IT business divide in some way. And how do we extend Agile practices, you know, into the wider organization?
Yeah. So, I mean, what kinds of things do you usually tell a lot of your clients in terms of making that achievable? What do they need to do?
Well, when I was at Paddy Power, one of the things that we did there was we tried to bring all the teams together in one common set of goals. So we always had a simple set of objectives. We had a portfolio of work which was rationalized and et cetera. But I came up with this term flow, and flow itself, I call it the new world of business agility. And flow itself is how work should flow throughout an organization. And I created some new techniques along with my sort of colleague in Flow Academy, Hayden Shaughnessy. We looked at how can we extend these agile practices into the business agility, if you like. And we just came up with techniques for value discovery, which is kind of like for product development, value management, which we've spoken about already, which is an adaptive portfolio of work, which is kind of providing funding when it's needed. And then value delivery is the IT bit, which is, I've kind of been a fan of using some of the methodologies like Kanban, et cetera, but it doesn't really matter. It's just, if you've got that value and that agility upstream on the business side, then the technology teams can deliver value and have less failures, shall we say.
I mean, so many organizations right now are trying to digitally transform. So how does Agile play a part in that?
Well, what you would find is that, from my perspective, flow in terms of agility and organization is much more than just methodologies and practices, et cetera, techniques. It's about people, and it's about social interaction, how people collaborate, how they visualize work, how they, they actually use the collective intelligence of the teams, et cetera, so they can actually get good at delivering the right things. And from a transformational perspective, in organizations, you've probably seen with COVID, there seems to be a massive push to get digital transformation programs started or completed. And we're being inundated by requests by companies really to help them fix their current delivery challenges.
I suppose the CIOs who are involved in this need to get that buy-in that you mentioned from across the business to actually really make sure that this is something that works in the organization. But how do they go about that? And is it always coming from the IT side, or sometimes do you see it coming from other business leaders who think, we need to be quicker?
I think what we're seeing at the moment is a pickup in the product space, product development space, with some of the techniques that they're using in design thinking, etc. I've been talking with a lot of HR people about the shape of the workforce for the future, and how agile HR can become. I mean, one Irish bank just announced yesterday that they're hiring 400 new digital people, digital and change people, and bringing 400 people from that background into a bank requires an agile HR kind of perspective. You can't just bring them in and they just probably will, find it difficult in that culture, which is completely different to what they're used to. So anyway, to get to your point, I spend a lot of time talking to the C-suite about agility. And I think agile is something they're a little bit scared of because they don't understand it. They don't want to seem weak. But once they understand how simple it is in terms of the people side, then I think they actually start to get on board with, actually, this could be something that will help our organization to be successful.
I suppose it also depends on them seeing some results. How quickly can people expect to see results in actually doing something like this?
I think the issue is that, if you think about adopting agile or agile techniques to do a digital transformation, which is quite common. Now, 80% of transformations fail, according to McKinsey, which is kind of a bit scary. And at the moment with COVID, you can't really afford to fail. So, and I think part of it is that, when organizations use traditional program and project management techniques to manage a transformation, therefore, it can take 6, 9, 12, 18 months before you see any delivery of value. So we create an agile approach called the Transformation Sprint, and we wrote a book about it as well. But that main thing is how you can take an agile approach to transformation and show results in 2, 3, or 4 weeks in an incremental way. And then you start to get people on board. But when they don't see delivery for months or even years, then that's when these programs fail and people think it's the fault of Agile.
So could these programs be kind of in a variety of different ways, so different types of programs?
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at boiling a program down to, say, even just one small delivery, one small project with three or four or five people, that you're giving those people the skills to be able to deliver in an agile way. And you're able to give, you know, executives a chance to actually see it in action. And that particular way of working gives you confidence to start to scale and expand. Whereas what you see in our traditional ways is that, well, let's go and hire 200 people and get going. And I think the cultural side of transformation is completely missing then.
And as well as the culture, is there anything skill set wise that your team, your staff need to actually work in an agile way?
I think the senior leaders need to have a little bit more of an open mind, a little bit more of a sharing mentality, and not to be so hung up on hierarchies, etc. I think that helps. And communication is not just about sending out emails and long missives. It really is about gathering people together. And we see leaders needing to be a little bit more connective. And then we see employees who are now working, you know, remotely, which is not unusual for some people. But it's how you come together on a regular basis and bring the social side of your work together. And agile practices can help some of that in some of the ways that people come together to build products and services. I think that has to be expanded much more to the wider organization.
It's an interesting point you make there in terms of remote working, because, you know, a lot of the agile practices and processes are require people to work in small teams. Or how do you do that right now in this time period?
I think it's a little easier if you're in a small team, because the small team starts to create their own culture, their own ways of working. And I'm talking with a company at the moment that have got teams of about five people, and they help those teams to have social moments like suggestions around how they should have breakfast together on a Friday or something, or just the odd meeting where you can just chat and actually talk about the weather or something like you usually do in the office. It's when you start to have massive teams, it's not unusual to be, say, if you're using a scaled framework, to see 100 or more people in a room doing big room planning. That's just not achievable anymore in a remote context. So I'm a big fan of scaling things down to smaller units. The challenge is for leaders to then assemble what they work on to something valuable.
So it's still possible to do things over Zoom or remotely?
It's not ideal, I think, if you're a social animal. But I find that coming together to talk about the work that you need to achieve on Zoom is okay. And then I find that a lot of developers do like to not be bothered by drive-by meetings or people, can you just do this for me? And context switching, they've become more productive. I think what's happening is that the traditional parts of the organization are not so productive because they're used to managing, you know, by seeing. They're used to managing by traditional reporting. And I think they have to get much more into this kind of seeing things as kind of like a scaled down cell network.
I suppose the other thing that you mentioned was DevOps. Again, this was kind of had its own hype time. And where are we now with DevOps? Is it something that still exists? Is it something that organizations are still taking to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think DevOps itself, and so whilst it's been around for 10 years and that I got involved with it back in 2010, it's only really now starting to become kind of seen as a standard set of working. Now, there is the Google side, the SRE, System Reliability Engineering, which is a similar kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it's about how you integrate teams together to be more effective. And I think organizations are seeing that as a key. Where DevOps needs to go is into a wider group of teams or silos, if you like, so to be more holistic. So, you've seen some incorporation of security or business analysis, but we go much further into terms of product and marketing and HR. So holistic teams is really what DevOps is about. And I think, but it's still alive and kicking, and actually still quite successful. Gene Kim will tell you that anyway. So if you Google him, he's a massive proponent of the movement, but wants to see it grow much wider into the enterprise.
When you say grow wider into the enterprise, what does that entail?
Why have an agile kind of function, say just one function like DevOps, or even just an agile team, you know, that are using some of these techniques? They get very good at delivering at pace, but are they delivering the right things? And how much inefficiency is caused by not having other skills in the teams? And I've been a bit controversial with HR teams recently, saying that people should have the ability to do more than just their job description. You know, as many years ago, I was a developer, a tester, I would implement my own code and all that sort of stuff. But we've got to the point now where our specialisms has become very narrow. And I actually find that job descriptions hold people back a little bit. So it's about having the right skills in the team. And if you can't get the people, get the skills, is what I always say.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And there's also a kind of difference between public sector and private sector and how they can approach agile. I don't know if you've got any examples of that in practice or what you've seen in the public sector.
Yeah, I think the public sector itself doesn't have a good marketing engine behind it, or they don't really talk about what they do. So it's like our best kept secret. I spent some time with the Revenue here in Ireland, and I really admire what they're doing in terms of adopting agile at scale. And they have some constraints in local government. Like, those constraints are funding, because you don't know if you're going to get your funding each year. Therefore, the old-fashioned funding cycle is one of the things that holds back some of the kind of like public and local government side of things. But, you know, what they've done is they've modernized the front end of the systems, which you can see if you use, you know, their applications, etc. But they've radically updated the back end. I mean, they've killed off P60s and P45s. This is something that's been around for 60 years. This is a massive change that they've done in an agile way, and it's their best kept secret. They never really talk about it. And then expanding it out a little bit, I spent some time in Northern Ireland with the civil service, the ICT conference they had last year. I think they call it SOC ITM. And they were fascinated by what I was talking about from a flow perspective in making work visible, limiting the portfolio of work to most valuable items, the social side of flow, the collaboration, etc. And I'm in contact with so many of those people. Still, they send me photographs of how they've set up their walls and how they've set up their visualization or how they've set up their social interaction, which is amazing.
Mm, yeah. A lot of these kind of ideas, practices, start within startups, so digital startups. And obviously you've played your part there at kind of lastminute.com and Paddy Power when they were much smaller organizations. So, you know, and you've also worked at some large institutions. So what are the differences then that you get when it comes to agile in these two different scales, I suppose?
I think on the one side, there's a lot more sharing and collaboration, so that people help each other. There's a kind of a buddy system when you're quite small, and people haven't got airs and graces at all. And, you know, like at lastminute.com, I remember my first day there, I went to lunch and I came back and there were two people sitting at my desk and said, "You snooze, you lose, we're busy," you know. And I was like, "What? I'm the CTO here." But, you know, people just pitched up and did their work as quickly and effectively as they can. And agile wasn't necessarily something that you trained. There was something that you were. And so, you know, some of the user acceptance testing was done by the owners of the company. You know, Brett Hoberman would be testing what was going to go live. And you wouldn't get a CEO in a large company doing that testing, unfortunately. So I think large hierarchies do kind of, they get kind of like disconnected from the front line, should we say. Whereas in a startup, you are part of it, very much part of it. And you celebrate together. And it's great to watch things scale. And the issue is, can you keep that kind of culture as you scale? And I think that's where some of the more modern techniques around holistic teams and the way that work flows in your organization can help with that. But there's nothing better than being in a small organization and seeing seeing it successful because you are getting the work done and not having to, you know, look for somebody to do it for you.
Do you think it's possible for CIOs to really train their teams if they haven't had that background in a startup to really know how that kind of culture and how it works?
You know, I've never been asked that question. It's a really great question. I mean, I think it helps because you have seen it. But when you would try to bring it into a large organization, if you're not prepared to be fired, then you can crash and burn. So I'm always been a bit of a maverick in the organizations I've gone to, and because I really believe in these techniques. But if you haven't experienced it, it is difficult, but there are people that can guide you, you know, if you're willing to reach out and have an open mind. You just have to stop the corporate immune system, the structure of the organization hierarchy from grinding you down, you know, and that's the toughest part. That's why I think the future in some ways for agility in organizations will come once some of the HR teams get more skills around the psychological side of organizations and actually trying to get people to understand that we have to move on from traditional structures to something new.
Yeah. And kind of as a final topic or theme, you know, the challenges that IT leaders come across when it comes to Agile, is there anything that we haven't discussed that you see kind of cropping up often?
Yeah, I mean, it does come down to the fact that teams themselves need to be more part of the co-creation of the techniques and the tools that they use rather than being told what to do. So I find that when a large consultancy or a large organization comes in to implement Agile, for me, it's the wrong way around. I think the teams themselves should be given more trust to practice, to, you know, test and learn, break and fix, pivot quickly. And you'll find that the practices become ingrained that way rather than dictated. So that's always my view is, can you do that? Can you give enough trust to the team to be able to do the Agile implementation themselves rather than being told what to do?
Definitely. That's great advice. Listen, Finn, it's been great to hear your views, and hopefully a lot of other IT leaders will have agreed with some of your points and maybe even learned something from this chat. So thanks again for your time. And I've been your host, Suraj Shah. For more episodes of the 101 podcast, please visit version1.com/1-0-1. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the 101 podcast. If you would like more information about any of our podcasts or our guests, visit us at version1.com/1-0-1.